Donskoy walks into Doug Wilson's office with his agent and says, "Hello, Mr. Doug Wilson, GM. I would like 3 years, $3 million a year. This is what I want Doug Wilson to say." There you go.
Hey now, boys and girls, it is time. Welcome to the Fucknologist, episode 65. Just like 65, we'll see if this episode sticks around after the trade deadline and beyond into next season, perhaps. Either way, I am your host, AJ Strong, and joining me as always, we have Rocket Backhander. Or maybe we don't.
Hey now. Hey, sorry, now. I had muted myself from a different location than normal. Took me a minute to get back to it. But I am here. Hello.
I know. And at a different, undisclosed part of San Jose, Hockey Jerk.
How do you know I'm in San Jose?
This is true. I have no effing idea where you might be right now.
God, he's in Pittsburgh.
He could be hitting
a little too close to home there, eh?
He could be at the wall. He could be trying to get in through a port of entry for all we know. We're not sure.
The wall's not up yet.
Oh, that is true. That is true. Unless you talk to Pink Floyd, they say something different. We're really already off the rails, and we're not even 2 minutes into this. All right.
Well, hey now.
Remember to subscribe to the cast on SoundCloud or the podcast platform of your choice. If you're on iTunes, give us a little hey now over there if you enjoy the show. Subscribe to the YouTube channel. Check out Teal Town After Dark, the only live and interactive show for the Sharks on YouTube. Feel free to leave the comments on SoundCloud, YouTube, whatever. We'll do our best to answer. And as always, hit us up on Twitter and Instagram at Tealtown USA. So,
as they say in hockey, let's do that hockey.
Yes, indeed. Let's do that hockey. The Sharks over their last five, 4-1-0, four losses in 18 games for 2019. Not too shabby, my friends. Currently 35-17-7, good for 77 points, tied with Calgary for first in the division, but Calgary does have a game in hand, 9 points now ahead of Vegas, and the Sharks do remain second in the conference. 3 games played since we last spoke with you, 7-2 victory at Vancouver, 5-1 loss versus the Capitals, and a 3-2 victory versus Vancouver.
Did somebody say Vancouver?
No, I thought they said Manhoover. Do not know. Let's get into the first one. San Jose wins their 6th straight. Joe Thornton passes Gordie Howe for 9th in assists in NHL history, but still, for some reason, isn't part of the NHL's top 100. Good for you. Sorensen. It is. Sorensen, Radil, Vlasic, and Šimek, the only Sharks not to register a point in this game. This was one of those Oprah games that Rocket loved so much. But a lot of that had to do with the fact that a 19-year-old Mikey DiPietro got shellacked. DiPietro was called up from Ottawa from the OHL on an emergency basis February 4th because Thatcher Demko injured his knee and the Canucks have no other healthy goalies under NHL contract. And fun fact, the kid let in a goal on the very first shot he faced, and the Sharks would score 3 on their first 5 shots, including that first shot on goal. So, Rocket, how'd you like that hockey?
I unfortunately did not see this game. So I saw a clip of it that looked kind of goofy where the puck went flying down the ice and people were swatting at it and batting at it and nobody could actually hit it. And then it was called icing, I think. Something like that. It was pretty funny.
I do remember there was one puck in this game that went kind of floating around a little bit and then it miraculously ended up in the net. So, Jerk, your take at Vancouver?
I very much enjoyed this game, obviously because the Sharks won, but you know, because they accomplished what I say you always need to accomplish, and that's show up and take the 2 points away from a team that you should beat. They did just that, and I do feel sorry for Michael DiPietro, the goaltender. But at the same time, it's one of those things where it's your first experience. And the kid even said himself in the interview, you know, like, I know what I need to do to be better and blah, 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 all those cliches. I liked this game because, you know, the guys that we all kind of identified last show as being guys who were hot and needed to keep on going to ensure the team kept winning. Well, they kept on going. You know, Kane had a goal. He may have had two in this game. I don't recall exactly, right?
I believe he had two.
Yeah, and just everything top to bottom was firing for the Sharks. And I don't want to say it was an easy win because there are no easy wins in this league, but a good 2 points. And like I said, they handled a team that they needed to handle.
But fun fact, you will in most cases, in fact, I'll actually say 100% of the time, you will win if you score more than the opposing team. I know this for some people, this will blow your mind, but I'm telling you right now.
Wow.
Truth is out there, my friends. So the Sharks return after sweeping Canada. Remember that was the end of a 4-game trip, Winnipeg, Edmonton, Calgary, finishing with the with the Vancouver's. So I guess it was a trap game when the Sharks returned home versus Washington. We all know Washington had a lot to play for. They wanted to get some revenge for the 7-6 OT loss that happened just before the All-Star break. You'll remember Kane scoring in the final second for, I believe, only like the second or third time in franchise history. Hurdle finishing off a hat trick in overtime. So this time it's a little bit different. The Hurdle line got hung out with Hurdle going -4. Kane and Donner, well, Donkey, Don Father, both of them -3. Saving grace is LeBanc would extend his goal streak to 3 games. However, if you listen to Rocket's conspiracy theory, the reason why they did not win this game is not because LeBanc scored, but because he did not find his way into the penalty box in this game. Am I right?
There was no minor penalty he served. He did not make his trip to the altar of the hockey gods, and they smoked the Sharks in this game.
Okay.
With the what you were doing with your hands and that little headpiece you have on, you look like a tarot card reader.
Call me now.
LeBanc will never score again.
Oh, remember 1-900-HOCKEY? I think we're going to have a little side hustle over there.
Oh, no.
Hey, now. Jumbo passes Timo Solani on all-time assist list. This is reminiscent of the Sharks coming off a strong roadie. They come back, don't look very great, kind of get their asses handed to them a little bit. But, you know, we move on. Not every team wins. Show me the one hockey team that has won 82-0 over the course of a season. These games happen. So what do you do? You make up for it in your next one, where the Sharks did get a 3-2 victory over Vancouver. Previous 2 games facing Vancouver, the Sharks outscored the Canucks 11-2. Now, of course, do the math, kids, 14-4. It's pretty good. Sharks are now 12-0-1 in their last 13 games versus Vancouver. I don't know what it was. Was it the sweep in the playoffs just a few short years ago? But ever since, man, San Jose has just had Vancouver's number. Maybe part of it had to do with the return of EK65 after a 9-game absence. He gets assist on the first goal from Meyer. The Couture line accounts for all 3 goals. Interesting officiating as LeBanc gets tripped with no call. And then later, Rossell absolutely molests Meyer and even going so far as to whisper sweet nothings into his ear, both of which went without a penalty. But hey, you can't blame the refs when you get a victory. Am I right, Jerk?
I would never blame the refs. They're perfect 100% of the time. What are you talking about? You know what? So I said before in regards to the first Vancouver game that all the guys who had been hot stayed hot. And then we saw in Washington, all those guys dropped the ball. They threw the ball on the ground and walked away from it.
How could open up you?
but then, you know, same thing like we've talked about ever since Peter DeBoer took over this team. The Sharks are very good at bouncing back after a loss, especially when it's one where they get their teeth kicked in, you know, by the Stanley Cup champions. And EK65, he returns, like you said, first time in 9 games and had an assist on the Timo Meier goal. And then from there, pretty even battle all the way through, which you were going to expect from Vancouver. I mean, they just got their teeth kicked in by the Sharks like a few days prior. But then, you know, my boy, Joe Pavelski, where he needs to be, puts it in the net, 31 on the year. I do want to say, though, Kevin LeBanc, I'm just saying, like, it's cool to see it's cool to see that he's finally starting to play some better hockey, whether you attribute that to Joe Thornton or whatever. I feel like that was the one piece on this roster that was a little suspect the last month or so, and it appears like it's starting to turn the course a bit, and now I can take my LeBanc jersey off of OfferUp.
Wow. Rocket, your usual suspect for this game?
My usual suspect for this game.
Well, what did you like? What did you take away from the game? You know how you're not new here. You know how this works.
Right. Sorry. I need to act like I've been here before. new
background. Who dis?
Right. Do you see anything teal back here? No. Who am I? I don't know anymore.
Playing the part of Alex Martinet will be right.
Hey, man. Alex has stepped. Anyway, so. This game was really forgettable for me. Like, I'm glad that they handled business where they needed to handle business, but there wasn't anything generally that stood out for me. So I can't really, yeah.
This game sort of did just kind of, after the first period, I feel like it just kind of flew by until Pavelski's goal.
Yeah.
A little bit. I mean, I remember seeing a power play that in the first period that the Sharks did everything but score. The power play, one of their sequences, it was just amazing. They hold the zone the entire time. It was beautiful. A little bit later, there was one or two that was a little sketch, but it just seemed like the special teams finding a vibe, a scotch more, shall we say. But the thing for me that I hated was giving up 19 shots on goal in the second period. Not my favorite thing. Work on that, guys.
Just yeah, if only we had some defense.
Oh, then let's get into it. Oh, the good, the bad, and the ugly of San Jose Sharks hockey this week. And my good, or I guess we could say great, good, and the F, bro. I don't know. I'm making this up as I go along. For me, good things to talk about. EK65 finally comes back after an injured groin, missing 9 games. Power play looking better and a scotch different. LeBanc seeming to find some rhythm up there. Rocket, your great or fun thing to point out?
I didn't have anything too fun to point out. I just, I think that the younger kids on this team are doing really well. And I think that the bottom six, for all of like the identity struggles that they've had, and even with the hiccups as of late, I think they've been doing really well. So I think that's good. But we have depth.
All righty. Jerk, but please point out the good row fight. No, I'm kidding. Go ahead. Do what you do.
Oh, God bless him.
I don't even think that one should be filed under DeF, bro. It was that bad. The good.
Well, the dude that he fought played all of 2 minutes in that game and had flow almost Sorensen-esque.
Well, that's all well and good. Yeah.
Neither here nor there.
Yeah, right. The what are we calling this? The great, the awesome, the way to go, pal.
Oh yeah.
I mean, I kind of touched on it earlier, but Kevin LeBanc, what is that? 5 goals in his last 4 games, 5 games. So
yeah, 5 and 4.
Yeah, he's been hot, as I've said. I'm hoping it's a sign of things to come. I would hate to see him be the piece that goes out for a quote-unquote rental. I would much rather see the Sharks just take on Kevin LeBanc as a project and work with him, move him forward, and get him where he needs to be, because let's not forget that it wasn't that long ago that he led the entire OHL in scoring. Let's just not forget that. And that whole thing where he's actually pretty good on the offensive side of the puck. I mean, last I checked, and again, I might be a little hazy on this, goals win games.
I've heard that.
May need to check with my sources on that one.
So our, I guess our good for the week, or our middle of the road, or I guess our,
hey now,
for me, like we talked about earlier, just the bounce back, the fact that they got their asses handed to them and they had a nice bounce back. There was a stretch there, those three games that they weren't looking that great, and I was like going, okay, do we need another meeting in Montreal again? And they seemed to have held on to that. They looked good. Good bounce back. Rocket.
Boy, Evander Kane looks good. Like, I went to practice last week and he was having a real solid practice, and he had a solid game, and then he had a solid game the game after that. And I just he makes me happy. That's all.
Dude has been on fire recently. Jerk, how about you?
So for me, for this one, it's just going to be like, cool. Tim Heed, beloved defenseman when he was in the Barracuda. And then, you know, the fans kind of turned heel on him a little bit when he came to the Sharks, but you know, he's not tearing up the score sheet, obviously, which is what you think he's going to do. But in those games that he did play with Mark Edward Vlasic, I personally don't think he looked too out of place. And now I believe he did come out of the lineup with Erik Karlsson coming back. So, I mean, he's not playing anymore. So you kind of have to wonder if that stretch of good play would have continued. But I was impressed with him considering how much people had kind of turned on him lately.
Absolutely. And I was kind of, we were talking about this the last After Dark. I was wondering that with the return of EK65 and everything, obviously Tim Heed comes off, but was that almost a blessing in disguise for the Sharks that they get this opportunity to kind of see what Heed has and gives the Sharks the opportunity to showcase what Heed has for a potential move going with the trade deadline coming so soon, just very, you know, a couple of weeks. So maybe that's something that we see going forward. I don't know. I can't remember the last time the Sharks, you know, rode eight defensemen over the course of an entire season. And we know because Ryan and Heed would have to be, if they were sent down, they'd have to pass waivers, and there's no way they clear. So,
oh no. Mm-mm.
Tim Heed, who is also going to be an unrestricted free agent this summer, and doesn't really have a whole lot of leeway. Negotiating leeway, that is, at least with the Sharks, when you've considered there are five defensemen currently under contract for next season, and that's not including Joakim Ryan, who's a restricted free agent. So I think you're onto something there, AJ.
Could be.
And how many seventh defensemen have we seen go for a third round pick at the deadline? I mean, it's almost assured.
All right.
Really?
So the ugly aspect of it is Martin Jones has let in a goal in the first 5 minutes of 41 games this season. The Sharks have played 59. Jones only has 43 starts. You do the math, but Jones, please, brother, keep the puck out of the net in that first five, would you? Just come on, Jerk.
All right, people. This is not a recording. Okay, this is live. Come on, Jonas Donskoy. How is he part of the hottest line on the team and has five assists in the last 6 weeks? Can somebody explain that to me?
You are not wrong, sir.
If I'm being a dick, like, tell me, but can't be the only one who's looking at Donskoy and is like, I wish there was somebody else on that line.
I'm sorry. A bunch of people just saying in the chat, Jerk is a dick. No. Yeah, no, I'm right there with you, but we know that PDB enjoys the pairs. For the longest time, it was Couture and Hurdle until they broke that up. But it was Couture and Hurdle. It was Thornton and Sorensen. It was Pavelski and Kane. And then we're going to try to figure out what the third piece is to balance all of that out.
Yeah. You got Asian pair, European pair, celery pair,
Bartlett pair.
Yep. You got all kinds of pairs. Pyrus pair.
Prickly pear.
Oh my gosh.
I think we are a pair of jokesters.
I know.
Okay.
DM me for my PayPal.
There you go. Venmo me for my PayPal. Rocket, your F, your, you know.
Really?
Nah, I don't have any, man. I went to a Sharks game, and I was pretty stoked. Everything looks great. I wanted to actually say real fast that the all of the electronic upgrades that they've made in the bowl, like, you know, just in the arena area itself, like, the lighting is amazing now.
I know.
Yeah.
Let's see here. Time to get to our three stars of the way. Don't worry, chat. We are going to get to you soon enough. I see a couple questions we will address. That's in the next segment. But right now, time for the three stars of the week, or what we call...
Oh, good for you!
Rocket, your star for the week.
Oh, my star, if I haven't made it pretty clear by now, is going to be Evander Kane.
I'm sorry, did you say Brendan Kane?
No.
Oh, okay. Evander Kane. Evander Kane. All right, Jerk.
So my star for this week is going to be not Kevin LeBanc. It's going to be Peter DeBoer, because as we've seen, whenever the Sharks are getting decimated, he tends to take that lineup card and tear it up and throw it into the waste bin. But no, you know, the Sharks got obliterated against the Capitals, and then, you know, flip around 2 days later, we got Vancouver Canucks, and status quo, the lines that have been hot, they got to stay together. Got EK back, so I think DeBoer sticking with the guns, as much as I hated when he said this, you know, dancing with the girl that he brought kind of thing. Like, I like that he did that as opposed to just tearing things down after one loss.
Yeah. Boy, it's almost like he spoke with a cliche. It's so rare for hockey people to do that.
Yeah.
Of course, my star for the week goes to Cap. 2 goals, 2 assists in his last 3. Leads the team with 31 goals. Having a ridiculously awesome contract year, as a lot of people tend to do when they're in their contract year. Will Pavelski remain?
You watch your damn mouth right now.
Just say it. Will Pavelski remain a Shark? Remains to be seen, as long as we're remaining.
I am unsure.
Yeah. I'm a little worried that Doug Wilson might be unsure at this point, because, boy, every goal that goes in, I just hear the cash register. Cha-ching.
Well, and two, if you watch Pavelski when he scores, one of his go-to celebrations is to kind of point at the goal scorer or the passer, or point at the ceiling, or pointing in general. And I always like to think that he's just pointing at Doug Wilson, like, 500K, 1 million. Signing bonus.
Dude,
you're sending my grandkids to college.
I'm waiting for his goal. So it's going to go from pointing to, rubbing the fingers together just a little bit.
He's going to take his wallet out of his pocket and throw it at Doug Wilson.
Just slam it up on the boards.
Fill her up, pal. Fill her up. I'm waiting for him to go straight money phone. Go Kane.
Yeah.
Pick up your phone, because I'm calling.
That's right. All right, let's get into Shark Fights, people. So, Shark Bites, let's get to the chat. There's a couple questions that we'll address now. Did anybody watch or listen to Brody's most recent podcast about the Sharks? And if you have, your thoughts. I have not listened to it yet. I believe it had to do with something about, like, questions with the trade deadline.
The international dateline.
Yes, I haven't gotten to it yet. If I don't get to it tonight, I definitely will tomorrow. Either of you guys had a chance or no?
No,
I've never listened to a podcast before.
Oh, well, okay.
Yeah.
There you go. Wow, Rob Iman saying, I think it's time to wave Donskoy.
Yes.
Hold on.
I'm telling you guys, it's only a matter of time before he signs a 3-year deal with the Panthers. So why not?
Why not
pull the Band-Aid off right now?
Is he FA this season?
Yes, he is. He's a pending UFA.
Oh, then maybe that, you know,
he's going to be a sweet piece for Florida. Then
I'll tell you this right now. This is how it should go down. Donskoy walks into Doug Wilson's office with his agent and says, "Hello, Mr. Doug Wilson, GM. I would like 3 years, $3 million a year. This is what I want Doug Wilson to say." There you go.
I'm seeing like Heed and Donskoy. Okay, now wait a minute. Just hear me out for a second. We don't get... it's all predicated upon Erik Karlsson. So Erik Karlsson goes to Tampa. We trade Donskoy and Heed to Florida for Mike Hoffman.
And then we trade Mike Hoffman to Ottawa for a first.
Yes.
I love this.
Yeah, I'm so okay with this.
Yeah.
This is, we're back to fan fiction.
Yeah. Okay.
Any up to, you know, I was trying to connect with Nick Nolenberger for the Cooter to talk about them. Unfortunately, we weren't able to make that connection. Hopefully we can get something going in the next week. Definitely want to catch up with them. But tomorrow, if you're unaware, there is a game for those of you who have the day off. Some of you do, some of you don't, some of your kids might, but a 1 o'clock game that happens for President's Day on that Monday. So 1 o'clock game, and that is first 4,000 fans get the orange jersey giveaway. So we'll leave it at that. But the Barracuda, after a great start, it's not looking good. You've got, who is it the Condors that have like won 15 straight? I believe it's sick what is going on there.
Sustainable.
Oh, I know. But as long if they play the CUDA, I mean, hey now. And the problem is the Barracuda have three games versus Iowa to finish out February. Those are going to be very tough. And then they get to play three versus Bakersfield, the Condors that have won 15 straight games to start off March. So good luck, CUDA, is what I'm saying. Again, we'll try to get Nick on pretty soon. Finally, for Shark Bites, I didn't know if you knew this, but warm-up pucks have returned, people. And when I say that, you might go, well, they always warm up with pucks. What are you talking about? for quite some time, a few years ago, it started where you have the pucks that the players warm up with, and they're printed with the team logos, both of the teams, the date, everything like that. I saw one in Calgary. It was kind of cool that they used for New Year's, where it actually had like little fireworks graphics on there and everything, since it was New Year's Eve. So I guess, I don't know, the Sharks or Fanatics or somebody said, okay, people want warm-up pucks, so they're back. And anybody have an idea how much these things are? What are they, like 25, 30 bucks? Something like
probably
that?
Probably 30 bucks.
They're 30. So, Jerk, do you know? Do you have a better? I forget. I can't remember if it's 20, 25, 30. I thought it's somewhere in there. Okay, I'll just say it's between 20 and 30.
I wonder if it's between 20 and 30.
I think it could be.
I think it might be between like 30 and 20, but I'm not sure.
Yeah. Marty's letting us know it's 30. Oh, okay, so that was
back to the future over here.
Thanks, Marty.
Yeah. So either way, the warm-up pucks are back. If you're a fan of those, it's a nice, you know, because you have digital ticketing now, it's a nice thing that some people like to mark an occasion that, well, you don't have the ticket to put on your wall anymore, but you can slide down to the store and grab yourself a warm-up puck that has the date. There you go. And then you can lie to your friends and say you caught it during warm-ups and be like really cool.
And I was going to say, if you really want to impress your friends, just take the Kevin Lacey approach and bonks you on the forehead.
Oh, yeah. Really interactive.
Much love, Kevin. Friend of the show.
Much love. And we move on. Oh, time to wrap it around the league, kids. Talk about something other than the Sharks. The Philadelphia Flyers have acquired themselves a goalie from Edmonton by the name of Cam Talbot.
Whoa.
For a goalie named Anthony Stolarz, who has played all of 19 NHL games. I'd really like to see what either of these goalies end up doing. What do you think happens? Do you think Talbot or Stolarz gets their first win first?
Talbot, I think, will get his first win. Yeah.
Jerk.
Yeah, I think Talbot only because I saw I saw a tweet that said how much is this of a dunk on the Oilers when you get traded to the Flyers and it's a better situation.
Yeah. Oh,
all right, that deserves one.
Hey now.
All right. Other moves that happened, the Vancouver Canucks acquired forward Ryan Spooner from the Edmonton Oilers again for forward Sam Gagne. Quick reminder, November 16th, the New York Rangers acquired forward Ryan Strome from Edmonton for Ryan Spooner. Jerk, why does no one love Ryan Spooner?
Well, let me ask you this. Have you ever traded a dollar bill for four quarters?
Yes, I have.
Sure.
That's more or less what just happened. I think the funny thing of all of this is so you're getting Gagne for Spooner, and then, you know, 2 months ago you got Spooner for Strome. If you turn the calendar back to 2015, the Oilers got Strome for Jordan Eberle, who is kind of good. that was also the same year where Edmonton traded the draft pick that was Matt Barzal for a defenseman who's never made the NHL.
Oh,
that sounds like trading $30 for a puck, a used puck.
Well,
yeah, that's well.
The Chiarelli exchange rate is horrible. He thought Canadian currency was bad. Hey now. All right. Finally, Don Cherry would really appreciate it if you would get off his goddamn lawn, evidently. Meanwhile, the Hurricanes are making up fabulous t-shirts.
Yeah, which, by the way, I don't like that they're using my intellectual property for their t-shirts.
Right? I'm scared that they're going to all think that they're hockey jerks, and then we're just going to have a different person sitting in this seat every show, and it'll just be weird.
Oh, my God. That would be great. Yeah, so for those of you who don't know, Don Cherry, like, went ham on the broadcast over the weekend, just pissing and moaning, talking about that it's silly for Carolina to do these silly celebrations after they get a victory. You know, so why you got to make it all about yourselves, or what, you know, says the guy who wears some of the most gaudy clothing ever imaginable to make it all about him, of course. But he's going to rip on the Hurricanes. He's going to say, you know, they're not even drawing any fans, blah, 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 and they got to do this stuff. When it comes down to stuff like this, I just go, you know what? Who is it hurting? You know, like, and it's the whole idea of, like, the team that has been beaten, they're already gone. They're showering. They're talking to media. They're doing whatever they need to do. The team is out there. They're doing something fun. The fans who don't want to see it can easily leave. They don't have to watch it. You know, it's kind of like the people that bitch about the "you suck" chant before the anthem.
Or wooing.
Well, now, see, the wooing is a little different because...
It's good for the goose. It's good for the gander.
I will tell you, I will tell you the distinct difference. The players are not doing these celebrations during the middle of the freaking game. People are not chanting, "you suck," during the middle of the freaking game 20,000 times.
Nashville, they do.
But we're not talking about that. If somebody, you know, was to sit there and there was a particular time, like, okay, so at the 5-minute mark of the second period, we're all going to woo. And it's that one time. Okay, then fine. But for the people that sit there and, you know, I don't understand the problem with the wooing and blah, blah, blah. Okay. And this is my challenge. Can I finish?
All right.
This is my challenge. Sit in the seat in front of me, and I'm going to bring two of my drunken friends, and we're going to watch a Sharks game together. And I'm going to woo, and my friends are going to woo whenever the hell we want, as loud as we want. And then you can tell me after three periods of hockey if you still think that there's no problem with it and it's not annoying. Go ahead.
Oh, no, it's not that it's not annoying. I mean, I'm sure that Don Cherry thinks that those celebrations are annoying. Annoying is, it's an opinion.
But nobody has to, nobody's forcing him to watch them.
Well, nobody's for.
Well, I mean, Sportsnet is, in a way.
Yeah, that's true.
I see I appreciate the merit of your argument. I do see where you're coming from. The way I look at it is like, you know, you're buying a ticket, you're going in, and like if I'm just sitting, like if I'm just wooing and whatever, like, and again, I don't know, but as long as you're not getting 3 inches away from somebody's ear and going woo, then yeah. I personally don't see that as an issue.
And like this whole concept of like, well, let's all just get together and do it at once, and that's a backfire though, because what happens when a whole bunch of people decide to get together and do the wave?
Yeah, but no one forces anybody to do that. And when the wave starts, you might sit there and go, okay, whatever. But it's not ear piercing, the wave. You know, if it goes by, it goes by. Who cares? But to just to hear that, to be in the tank. And what's weird is I've heard it. There's been some games this season where I haven't heard it at all. The what was the last game I went to? It was the Washington game. I don't remember. Well, we should also preface it that the wooing usually occurs when the Sharks are winning. The Sharks were not winning that game. But the games that I've gone to this season, whether it was Washington, I really don't remember hearing wooing during Ottawa. I think maybe the Edmonton game, I heard a little bit of it. But I do seem to be, I seem to notice it, that it does seem to get shouted down a little bit more. Like people start chanting. As soon as they start hearing it, they just start going, let's, you know, let's go Sharks, or the two syllable version.
I go Sharks go. What is wrong with that?
Or just let's go Sharks. There you go.
Yeah.
I don't, you know, but for some reason, everybody wants to have the.
Goddamn Sharks fans.
And it's just, you know, let's go Sharkies.
I'm gonna turn this podcast around right now. If you,
this is what I'm saying.
Yeah, man.
I have one more thing for the reach around, wrap around.
I know
whatever we're calling this segment. This is provided by friend of the show, friend of the Twitter account, Vince G. Two days ago, Sasha Chmielewski with 2 goals and an assist, giving him 60 points on the year, and. Yesterday, which was the 16th of February, Ivan Cechovic with an assist, giving him 90 points on the year, which has him in top three in the QMJHL scoring, the whole league.
Jonas Donskoy, this one is for you. Hasta la pasta, buddy. Enjoy Florida.
Enjoy Florida.
All I have to say to follow that up in terms of Ivan Cechovic, 7th round pick.
Oh wow. God. And see it, and that's the whole thing. You can sit there and you point at Pavelski, you point at Cechovic, and then you get an ass like me that goes Patrecki, Doherty, Mueller, Goldobin.
would you like another stat?
Bring it on.
So in the 2017 draft, there were 217 draft picks. Ivan Cechovic was picked 212th.
Oh
wow.
I want to see this kid just do great things. Don't bring him up too fast. Let him marinate. Let him be good.
Yeah, 90 points in 54 games and a plus 41.
Oh man, if that was, oh, as Rocket likes to say, unsustainable.
Unsustainable. But impressive. Yes. Oh my God.
Have the Sharks ever had a prospect win the scoring title of their junior league? I am unsure. Well, actually, okay. Kevin LeBanc, I'm sorry. But besides that, we might be in some new territory here.
Well, the other thing, though, too, is I'm always a little apprehensive about award winners at the different lower levels. We heard so much about how great Matt Carl was going to be for being a Hobey Baker winner out of Denver. I liked Matt Carl. He clearly worked out for the Sharks and their future roadmap, being a piece that got them Dan Boyle. But Matt Carl, if you remember, was sold to the fan base is like, the next Sandis Ozilinch, like this guy was going to be an amazing QB on the power play. He was just going to be the incredibly, like the really one of the only offensive defensemen up to that point that the Sharks had ever really had. And it just never turned out that way. Now, do I also think Matt Carl was brought up too quickly? Yep. So anyway, get back to where we were, look, Don Cherry doesn't want the Carolina Hurricanes to have fun at the end of a game, or after, I should say, after the game has already been determined and everything. Well, okay, fine, but I'm buying one of those Carolina Hurricane shirts. I'm just letting you know now. Do I have to, like, give Jerk a quarter for that?
I did tweet the Hurricanes telling them to not forget who the original Hockey Jerk was. We'll see if they respond.
Let's see.
Nice. All right. Let's preview the next games we got coming up before we see you next. The Sharks finish off a 3-game road trip versus Boston.
Boston. The Sharks in Boston.
Yes. For those of you watching the show live, that game happens tomorrow night. And all this talk about LeBanc, that is Kevin LeBanc Piggy Night, or Piggy Bank Night. Piggy LeBanc Night.
Sui.
Kevin LeBanc.
That's, now, that would be good, the Sui thing. I like that. But versus Boston, who have won 5 straight, 7 of 8. They're second in the Atlantic, 76 points. This is not going to be a easy walk through the park. Through the park. We play these games not because they are easy, but because they are hard. And the game versus Boston might, in fact, be quite hard. After that,
ask not what your team can do for you.
Hurrah.
We hold these offline offsides reviews to be self-evident.
Look at these pucks with that incredibly awesome vulcanized rubber. I should have worn a rubber. Anyway.
Oh, God.
So we move on to a 4-game road trip after Boston, which is starting at Pittsburgh, then at Columbus, then at Detroit. Pittsburgh right now, 4-5. Man, 4 wins, 5 losses since February. 1 point from the wild card, 1 point from being third in the Metro. What the hell has happened with Pittsburgh, Jerk?
Well, they kind of
Malkin only got suspended 1 game, bro.
They've had some really rocky goaltending this season, and to the surprise of nobody, signing Jack Johnson to a 5-year deal did not pay off for them. That said, their goal scoring is still stupid crazy, and they'll be back.
You think they'll make the wild card?
Oh, absolutely.
Alrighty. After Pittsburgh, the Sharks roll over to Columbus, 5-2 in February, 5-1 over their last 6, third in the Metro, 2 points behind the Washington Capitals. What do you look forward to, Rocket, Sharks, Blue Jackets?
I look forward to the cannon not firing.
Yes.
For those about to rock, you're going to just have to keep waiting. That's what I look forward to. There will be no saluting.
Oh my God. There will be no saluting. For those about to rock, you're going to have to wait a little bit longer to do your rock.
You might need to sit down for a minute. It's going to be a while.
Yeah, for those about to rock, it's not about to happen. Yeah. Anyway, then heading over to Detroit, 14 points out of the wild card, 4-3-1 in February. I mean, if there was a trap game ever, no, I'm kidding. But playing at the dojo versus Detroit, this is a game that on paper should be a walk for the Sharks. I firmly expect Aaron Dell to get this start, unless Jones gets shellacked in Columbus, then maybe you go with Jones to get his confidence back a little bit, but. We'll see. And then is Detroit, I believe. Bad, no.
Yes.
No. No. So Detroit is 1 game. After that Detroit game, the Sharks then face Boston yet again on the road. But then that takes us to the trade deadline. So,
dun, 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 dun.
Yeah. So the fun part of that, enjoy the speculation for these next 5 games before the trade deadline, because it's always great when somebody gets scratched last minute and Twitter goes nuts. And it could be because some guy like stubbed his toe or something like that. Like it could be for the weirdest reason. But as soon as you see that somebody got, you know, got healthy scratched in the last minute, everybody loses their minds.
Also, don't forget to check the date on your tweets. I mean, every season this happens.
Yeah, and
let's try to be more vigilant this year, kids.
I believe this is what's known as hockey jerk fishing season this time of year.
Folks, I am pleased to announce that I have recovered my password. no, I like what you said though about keeping an eye on who's scratched and all that stuff, AJ, and the speculation, because I think it was last year somebody on the Flyers left practice early with their sticks, and everybody was like, "Oh my god, where's he going?" And he homeboy had a dentist appointment.
Didn't also like somebody like a big Twitter account, like whether it was Friedman or Wyszynski or somebody, get fooled by by somebody retweeting something from the past?
There's usually one that happens every year.
If you're referring to what I think you're referring to,
I'm not sure. I just remember there being, I have a little hint of something in the back of my mind, and I know you have to know something about it.
Well, so, I don't remember exactly when this was, around maybe this time last year. I retweeted a tweet from, I believe, 2011 saying that, John Tavares had signed a 6-year extension with the Islanders. And
next thing you know,
and a certain blue check mark individual was like, "Well, I guess the courting season won't get started." And I was like, "Oh no."
Okay. That's the way it's going to roll for the next 4 games. We will see you for episode 66 when that happens. Want to say congrats to loyal viewer for it's such a long what is it again? It's
4 paws up for hockey.
Yeah, okay. I wasn't sure if it was 4 paws up for the hockey or but okay. 4 paws up for hockey for winning our the NHL All-Star Towel Contest.
Yeah.
Presented by Geico.
Yes. That should be going out this week. Wasn't able to get to it this week. Had a lot of things, or wasn't able to get to it last week. It'll go out this week to you. And actually, the address given to me is in San Jose. I almost feel like I could just drop it off on my way to work or something. But anyway, congrats, 4 Paws, for winning the towel on our trivia contest. We'll get something going probably next episode, another contest. There you go. Final thoughts on where the people can find you. Last thoughts. What do they say when you're gonna like put somebody in the ground? Like last words and something.
Yeah. Last just, words.
Do you have any final requests?
Yeah, there you go. All right. So anyway, yeah, go ahead. I'm so tired. Go.
last meal.
Can I get a ham and cheese and pineapple pizza?
Ew.
Ain't nothing wrong with some Hawaiian action. Come on.
Hey,
all right. So I guess I'll go first. My name is Rocket Backhander, and these are my final thoughts for the evening. My final thoughts for this evening. This team continues to be dynamic. I will say this every week. Sharks, dynamic. They're getting better at not falling too far behind when things start to go against the way that they should for them. Yeah, keep improving on your recovery times, boys. Yeah, so you can find me hanging out on Twitter, capital R, capital B, little Ackhander 76. That's R, Backhander 76 on Twitter. I talk about hockey and, you know, just musing about hockey stuff, hockey, you know, basically. Or check out my photographs on Instagram. It's Rocket Backhander, one word.
We now go to Jerk to get his final thoughts on where the people can find him on social media. He will be doing a post show after. Well, I guess it's after Pucknologists to where he will get into the merits and how people should be executed if in fact they do put pineapple on a pizza.
Hey,
So first things first is it doesn't get talked about nearly enough, but having the whole pizza thrown at your face, it's a pretty interesting feeling. No, I'm just kidding. So final thoughts. I neglected to mention it earlier, but Joachim Blickfeld, another Sharks prospect, playing in the WHL, a hat trick and an assist tonight, giving him 98 points on the year. 98, as in two away from 100. Yes, he's an overager, which essentially means he's already been drafted and he's back in his junior league, so you could argue that he's dominating the competition easily, but still, 98 points is impressive. Another thing to be excited about for the organization going forward.
Let me ask you this, then. The three people that you named tonight, are we seeing them wearing SJ on the front of their jersey next season?
Yes, only because all three of them will not be eligible for juniors next year. So whether it's the SJ, the Sharks, or the SJ, the Barracuda.
No, the Sharks don't wear an SJ on the front.
Not yet.
Yeah. Oh, we need a new third jersey, guys. I got an idea.
Again, Barracuda is going to be very crowded. If you would like to know my thoughts on the Barracuda being crowded, you can follow me on Twitter at @hockey_jerk. Like Rocket, I talk about the hockey players, hockey plays, hockey jerseys, specialty patches, hockey video games, hockey betting, fantasy hockey, all that stuff. And if you would like to send me any hockey tips or conspiracy theories or general jargon, you can send me an email at hockeyjerk10@gmail.com. AJ?
I don't think I've ever heard you give out your email before.
Hey, next week we're going with the home address, baby.
It's a bold strategy, Cotton. Let's see if it pays off.
If you would like to steal my identity, my social security number is...
Oh, man.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
My number is 12.
I am AJ _Strong on the social media stuff that's out there. You can find me. Final thought, lock everything down. Better team defense. For Christ's sake, stay out of the goddamn box. No, I'm kidding.
No. Kevin has to go to the box.
That's true. Only Kevin is allowed. Mm-hmm. But we'll let it go there. Just keep doing whatever it is you're doing. I've heard that the national NHL media starting to give the Sharks a little more love as of late. It's probably going to happen when for a couple days you're the best in the West. Just saying. So with that, do us a favor. Subscribe to us on SoundCloud, iTunes, whatever podcast catcher you use. Subscribe to the YouTube channel. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at TealTownUSA. Thank you for listening. We will see you all next time. We could be thrice live next week. You never know what could happen. Do the Sharks play on a Sunday next week? Yep, they do. So maybe not. Oh, wait. No, it's a noon start. So, yeah, we'll see you next Sunday. Okay, everybody? See you next Sunday for episode 66. We got to go.
Good night, kids.
Pizza.